Well, there are two portions of scripture I'd like to read with you this afternoon. And the first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, this is a very familiar verse, but we would think we could learn some lessons from it. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And we think of that verse, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. The second verse that I'd like to read is in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word in those verses we'll bring up. When I first began to study the word of God for myself, I was always attracted to individuals. I wanted to read and to know what their life was like. And one of the ones that I've come back to over and over again is this man, David. I just really enjoyed so much of the life of David. And David was a man chosen by God to do a work for God. There was a reason why God entered into David's life. And I think of this. There was a reason why God entered in your life, and why he touched your heart, and why he saved you. And of course, one of the first things that he wanted is that you would worship and praise him. That's the first thing. You know, when I think of that it says in Revelation chapter 2 about the Ephesians, you have left your first love. And I believe that the first love they left is that they were failing to worship God. And so many times when the Lord Jesus spoke of fruit in the life of believers, he was speaking of their worship. Have we ever forgotten to worship our Savior? So David was chosen by God to do a work for God. He was anointed, and we read that portion in 1 Samuel 16 where he was anointed. He was anointed by the Lord. And he had a great potential to do much for the Lord. And that the moment you were saved, there was a great potential for you to accomplish much for God. In the place where God placed you. And I think of so many times of Joseph. And we know the life of Joseph. And I love to look at the life of Joseph. But what things that really impressed me is that Joseph, speaking to his brothers, said, I am in the place where God wants me. I am in the place where God wants me. And that gripped Joseph all of his life. When he was in the pit that his brothers had put him in, he knew that God wanted him there. When he was a servant in Potiphar's house, he understood that God wanted me there. And when he was in the prison, God wanted me there. And we read that Joseph did that which was right in the eyes of those that were before him. And as well in the life of David, we are reminded over and over again that he was chosen by the Lord. Lest we look at his circumstances and his things he had done, and we forget. And David, but I read that verse in 1 Peter about trials in life. And David faced trials in life. Every step of his life for God, he faced a trial. And the areas in which where David faced trials in life are the same areas in which you and I will face trials. They may not be the same trial, but it's in the same area of life. David faced testings in relation to his family. And then in relation to satanic attacks. And then in relation to the people of God, how he treated the people of God. Then in relation to spiritual things. You think that every time you pick up your Bible and you open it and you read it, you are handling spiritual things. This spiritual thing, you can neglect it. You can read it hurriedly. Or you can study it and apply it in your life. So he was tested in relation to spiritual things. He was tested in relation to the material world. And we are too. And then he was tested in relation to the religious world. And so I would like to just bring before you some of the testings that David had. Some of the testings he tried. He was, first of all, tested as a shepherd boy. Now, in those days, a child, whether they were male or female, at 9 years of age, they would begin caring for sheep. From 9 till 12, they were under the care of a shepherd, but they were still learning how to care for the sheep. At 12 years of age, the girls no longer cared for the sheep. They went back to the household, but the boys were given the care of a number of sheep on their own. And David had that testing. How would he treat the sheep? How would he look after them? And we read in the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read this about David being tested with the sheep. He is caring for the sheep. You think of that. He is caring for the sheep. He's faithfully looking after the sheep. That's a test that he successfully past. And we enjoy many of these lovely psalms that came because of his experience with the sheep. Then he was tested in relation to his family. And many times his family caused him much grief. But still he carried on. He did not forget it. He was obedient to his father. The father sent him down to see how his brothers were doing. And he faithfully cared for his father and has remarked about this. He left the sheep in the hands of a keeper. Even though he was at being tested in relation to his family, he never forgot his responsibility, his testing, relating to the sheep. Then I think as well that he was tested in relation to the lion and the bear. Now, as I understand it, that the proper expression there is the lions and the bears, that it was on more than one occasion. And really it was a satanic attack. And there, and what did David say of that? The Lord delivered me. His confidence, even when facing the lions and the bears, was in the Lord. The Lord delivered me. Then he was tested in relation to Saul, and he became Saul's soother and calmer. And there he was being tested in relation to God's leader. Now, we as Christians will always be tested in relation to those who have the leadership of God's people. And what do we read about this? We read that it came to pass when an evil spirit came upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with the hand, so that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. When I think of this verse, I think of this, that when the pressures of life became too much for Saul, that David was there to help. David was there to support and lift him up. And the leaders of God's people will always be under great stress and trials. And I think of that. That there David was seeking to hold them up, lift them up, and help them, and soothe them. But then there was also this time when Saul was against him. And David said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, as seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. I cannot, David was saying, I cannot touch him, because the Lord has appointed him to that task. And then I find that interesting, that when we read through the 1 Samuel, we will find that more times than David, that we are reminded that Saul was anointed of the Lord. More often we're reminded that Saul was God's anointed individual. But then he was tested in the valley of Elah. And he defeated the giant. But that testing in the valley of Elah really speaks of the control of the world and the flesh. How much will the world control my life? How much? Because you'll remember what the Philistines said unto them. If our champion defeats your champion, you will serve us. And that whole valley of Elah speaks of that, the control of the world in my life. And David defeated him. But how did David defeat him? He said, the Lord will give me the victory. His confidence in facing the world was in his God. Really, it touches me, because do I always keep my eye on the Lord when facing the trials and the temptations from the world? But then another time he was tested. He was tested as a captain, or the leader of the army of Israel. He was tested, and he went in and out before the people, and they praised him. Why is because David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. He was conscious of this, that the people are watching me. They're watching me 24/7, every moment of the day, every day of the week. There are people with their eyes upon me. They were watching him. And so he was tested in that. Then he was tested in relation to the things of God. And we read of that, and the Lord Jesus himself mentioned this. David was tested in relation to the showbread. And he partook of the showbread and gave it to his friends, even though David knew it was wrong. And the Lord pointed that out, that David took it. That which was only for the priests. And the Lord was saying, David was tested in the things of the Lord. And unfortunately, that was a testing that he failed at that time. But later on, he was tested again concerning the things of God. And he was first brought, began to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem on a cart. He was being tested. But then he did it the right way, on the shoulders of the priests. And the Ark was brought up. Sometimes we may fail the things of God. And if we fail in the relation to the things of God, God will bring us another trial. He is looking for us that we might turn unto him. When we think of that verse in Romans chapter 2, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. We often use that verse in the gospel, but it was really meant for believers. The goodness of God is bringing us to repentance. Then he was tested as a fugitive in the wilderness. And really, when I think of that as a fugitive in the wilderness, I think of that in the place of rejection, the place where he was not welcome. He was not welcome amongst the Lord's people. But then what we find is that even in the place of rejection, he sought to do the Lord's will. You'll remember when David went into the wilderness, that the first step was at Gath. And he was rejected from Gath. And he went into the wilderness by himself. And he pleaded with the Lord. And he wrote a psalm concerning that. And then the prophet Gad came to him. And the prophet Gad came to him with a word. David, do not depart from this wilderness. You are to stay in this place. And then we find David going to the cave of Adullam. He's now walking in God's step. And how did God treat him? God brought down to him many individuals. And we read those that everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. You think of that. And he became a captain over them. That is when we look at that expression, a captain over them, that is a unique title in the Word of God, for only 4 individuals were ever called a captain over God's people. Joshua, Hezekiah, David, the Lord Jesus. Captain over God's people. And God had brought him there to be a captain. Then he was tested in relation to the material world. And you'll remember Nabal. And David sent his servants down to Nabal to get food to provide for his family. That's in 1 Samuel 25. And David was tested in relation to the material world. And at first, his anger was raised up. But God sent him away to stop him in his path. And I think of that verse, that while we are tempted, God will provide a way to deliver us from the trial and the temptation. But then David was tested in relation to the religious world. And the religious world of those days were embodied in the Philistines. And David went down to the Philistines twice. The first time they rejected him and cast him away. The second time they received him and then gave him the city of Ziklag. And so for a while he was associated with them. But later he gained the victory. And among his mighty men, there was at one time among them the religious world. Those from among the religious world that had come out from the religious world. And I find it really interesting when I read 2 Samuel chapter 15. And all the Gittites, that's the people, Philistines from Gath, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after Ittai from Gath, passed on before the king. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As my lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." Here we have over 600 men who, looking upon the testimony that David had of one who feared God and sought after God and believed in God, that their lives were touched and they went and pursued after him. And you notice, so the first thing that Ittai says, "As the Lord God liveth," his faith was now in God, the Lord God. Then a final time, a thing that I've noted here, he was tested in relation to the flesh with Bathsheba. And it caused much heartache. And it caused him great anguish of heart. But he was restored unto God. But the consequences continued throughout the rest of his life. And you know, when I was thinking of trials in our life, I've heard it said that trials in our life will either make us bitter or better. And the bitterness in our life will cause us poor health. If we are bitter in life, it would be an indication that we're really not praying. Because to pray, we can't pray and be bitter. Bitterness would deny what the Lord said unto Peter. "I say not unto thee seven times, but seven times seven." And I think of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5. He says, "We glory in tribulation." Now that's hard. to glory in tribulation. I think really what the Apostle Paul was saying, when we look back to the trials we went through, we glory. And we read that verse in 1 Peter, and Peter in 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the purpose of our trials might be found unto praise and honor and glory. That God is bringing those trials before us, that we should never ever forget that the Lord is always with us. He promised us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when we go through those trials, he has brought the trials before us. He has touched them. And I think of David, and I think of, he went through those great trials, and how did he react to all of his trials? What was his reaction to his testings? Well, in Psalm 16, he says these words, the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The trials and the testings did not keep him down. And in 2 Samuel 7 and 18, we read this. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast blessed me? David had just come through all of those trials, all of the rejection of Saul, and how Saul and his armies had pursued after him, and how Abner had refused to allow David to be anointed king. And really, what is David saying? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast blessed me? And then I think of Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. For today, the Lord is my shepherd. But he ends that psalm with these words. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today, the Lord is my shepherd. In the future, there's a coming a day when I shall be with him in his house. You know, we think of all those trials and we think of David's response and we think, what made the difference in David's life? Well, David made much of the Lord all his days. He sought the mind of the Lord when pursuing a course of action. And we think of David down in Ziklag when he was really in a place of rejection. And what is he doing? He's calling on the priest. And Abiathar was the high priest at that time. And he was calling on the priest to intercede with him, to find the will of God for him. Should he go up to Hebron or not? And the Lord said, go up. And then he was not afraid to confess his sin before God or before the people. And then I think of it, his godly attitude preserved him in times of trial. And I can't help but think of that verse in 1 Samuel 17. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He would say, the Lord will deliver me out of every trial. And you know, Christians today are faced with trials. You and I are faced with trials every day. And either self will be evident or Christ is Lord. And you know, many, many years ago, well, several thousand years ago, Plato, the Greek philosopher, made this statement. And I believe that the Apostle Paul was thinking of this statement when he wrote Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Plato said this, every individual you meet is fighting a hard battle that you know nothing about. So be kind always. And we think of that verse. Be kind. Now I can't even remember it, but it's Ephesians 4 and 32. It's a verse that we should always keep in mind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I think that the Apostle Paul had in mind the words of Plato that said, everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle that you know nothing about. So be kind always. Shall we speak to the Lord in prayer? Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art a God that is always with us, always caring for us. And if we think of the words that thou didst speak to Jacob, when thou didst say to him, I will not leave thee until I have accomplished that which I have spoken to thee of. And Father, we thank thee that thou art with us. And we pray for thy hand of guidance and direction and blessings through this rest of this day. We would pray again for the gospel meeting tonight. And our brother, as he would speak concerning the hope of salvation, we'd pray again for Johnny Hofer in the hospital, that thy hand of healing hands would be upon him. We'd pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.